Coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, this is the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast. I'm your host, Eric Anthony, and this is episode 339. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude. It's your boy, Eric Anthony. I know it's been a while since we've posted an episode here, so anybody who's downloaded this episode and has been waiting, like, whatever happened to the Cave? Are you still posting episodes on the Cave? We are back. We're going to be posting more episodes, some most recent Seinfeld Chronicles with my boy, Shane Herron. Now, just a little bit of housekeeping. In November, schedule changed a little bit for me, and doing two podcasts a week was a little bit too much for me to handle, as well as sometimes you can't force inspiration or content. So I was putting all of my attention into the Omniverse podcast. A shout out to Dave, my boy Dave, and his wife Misha over there. Check out omniversecomics.guide, amazing website. But we are back in the Cave. I'm going to be putting up some more episodes with my friends, Shane Herron, Daff J. I'm going to get Sean Daly on. We'll do some wrestle talk, and we're going to try to keep this thing going. It's always a ton of fun to be able to podcast with my friends and family, of course, but just needed to take a little bit of a hiatus for a bit. But now it's March, it's almost springtime, we're back, we're going to do this thing. Without further ado, this is Chronicles, Seinfeld Chronicles, the last episode for Season 2. So me and Shane are going to be heading full throttle into Season 3, which is going to be a ton of fun, so stay tuned for that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Leave us a review. We're going to have a lot of fun in the next couple months, next couple years. Let's do this thing. Without further ado, episode 339. Thank you, everybody.
Bus boy, baby.
Well, it's been a long time since I've done a Cave of Solitude episode.
Yeah.
It's been like 3 months. People have been asking if it's still running, and it is. We're here with Shane, the Seinfeld Seinfeld specialist. You went and did a Seinfeld trivia by yourself.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Second place.
All going solo.
Two of my team members couldn't come, and then one of them showed up for the third round, the last round. So I did most of it by myself. It was basically like a solo effort.
Good for you.
I was trying. I literally wanted to go in and be like, I want to see if I can win this all by myself.
If you had to name it like a team just that you were on, what do you think your team name would be?
What?
If you had to make a team, like just your brand new team and it was just you.
Yeah.
What would your new name be? Would you just go in as Shane, or would you have like a...
No, for Seinfeld trivia, you got to come up with a deep cut name. Like,
what would your deep cut name be? If it was, just
I already have good names for it. We're the Pines of Mar Gables.
Yeah, but that's your phase team. Two.
Yeah.
If you said to your team, "I'm not in with you guys," and then you show up just as a solo act.
So when we go and we went and did Seinfeld trivia at Hemingway's, and we went to do it at Sneaky D's, different trivia Seinfeld trivia, like different people that host it, and when our whole team was in there, we're Flesh Wounds in Ithaca. Do you get the reference? A lot of people, it's such a deep cut.
A deep cut.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Do you remember in the Wait Out episode where Kramer's got the jeans? He's stuck in the jeans? And Mickey's auditioning for the actor's studio, and Kramer has to show up to be the businessman, and he's wearing the jeans?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you do. When Kramer wears the jeans, he's wearing like skinny jeans.
I don't remember.
He can't get them off. You don't remember Jerry trying to pull his jeans off of him? That's, you don't remember that episode?
I don't. What season is that? 5?
Season 7. End of season 7. The wait out.
Oh, that's why.
It's okay. When they're Jerry and Elaine are waiting out the Luckners, Beth Luckner. It's Deborah Messing from Will and Grace.
Right.
And Carrie Elwes is David Luckner, the guy from...
Yes, Princess Bride.
Yeah. So, and then George goes, he says to them, he's like, oh, you could have done a lot better than him. And then that actually breaks them up. And Elaine and Jerry move in on them. They're waiting out the marriage.
That's right. I remember that.
And the other plot is Kramer buys jeans, slim fit jeans, and he can't get them off.
Because I think about Seinfeld, I never think of Kramer wearing jeans, ever.
That's always the joke.
Slacks. Yeah, I get you.
And then
flesh wounds in Ithaca.
So when Mickey is trying out for the Actors Studio, Kramer's a scene partner. Mickey's doing a scene from a Terrence Kloofer play, Flesh Wounds in Ithaca. That's the scene. He's like, Bradley, sit down.
That's that. Yeah, that's it.
Bradley, it's very important that you sit down. And then Kramer can't sit down.
That sounds like a Kramer.
That's such a deep cut, though. Flesh Wounds in Ithaca.
That's very
deep. I had to look it up because I was like, is Terrence Kloofer a real author? But it's just fictional. But it's so funny. Flesh Wounds in Ithaca is such a funny name for a...
That is a good name.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got some deep cut names. Yeah, I stress that you have to have deep cut names. The winners have to have deep cut names.
Yeah. That you're going in letting them know you mean business.
Yeah.
I get you. Well, we're doing The Busboy. We're closing off season two, finally. We had it recorded behind the scenes, and I was the dummy that didn't save it correctly. So we're going to give this another shot.
Yep.
So I'm excited. Get back on the horse, the Cave of Solitude.
We're Let's here at Rage Studio. You are sitting where I was sitting when we recorded it before, when I was on. We did it on Skype.
Is that right?
I was literally sitting exactly where you're sitting, next to the fridge, and like that's where I recorded it.
There you go. We should definitely record here more often. This is a perfect spot for a podcast.
Yeah, honestly. we're in the chill room at Raid with some AstroTurf grass on the bottom. We're surrounded by good comic books and art.
Take your shoes off in here. You feel right at home. I love it. Okay, let's get into The Busboy, Shane. This is the one episode that we rewatched twice. It's fresh in our minds again.
We just watched it together. I think it was the first time we've watched it together.
I kind of like that. Yeah. I think we should do that. That should be a good refresh. Yeah. Go to the Raid, watch the episode, get right into it, write our notes, and have it fresh in our minds. I have mixed feelings about this one, but do you got the synopsis ready? You usually have the synopsis ready. I have it on my computer. You have it on your computer. We're on our cell phones today doing it freestyle. Let's pull up
I was unprepared. I had the... Usually I'm working off my laptop. I have my laptop here, but I'm just looking at my phone. The Busboy.
There you go.
Season 2, episode 12. George tries to apologize to a busboy after one of his comments got him fired, but he only makes things worse. Elaine tries to get one of her male friends out of her house.
Simple.
This is actually interesting because this might be the first time that Jerry doesn't actually have his own storyline. The storylines are Elaine and George.
Yes. And we mentioned this before to each other that this episode definitely seems... It feels like it's out of order, or it was meant to be potentially placed somewhere else in the episode listing because it's the last episode of season two, but it doesn't feel like...
No.
It feels like a mid-season, almost somewhat of a filler episode. And there's some things in continuity as far as like George's job, like you brought to my attention, where he's still working in real estate, but there's a very important episode that explains how he falls out of working in real estate.
So this was, I think, recorded at... before the revenge episode where George is fired from Rick Barr Properties.
That's right.
Well, to be fair, George gives the busboy his business card and says he's in real estate. He could still have business cards and
that's true.
Be a real estate kind of, broker. Yeah. But I mean, I think it is a little bit of a mix because I think this was the last episode of the season that they recorded was the deal, right? And it was supposed to end.
And that definitely feels like a season finale.
That definitely feels like how the season should have ended. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't remember, you would know for sure, but I remember when the DVD bonus features came out, I think they had mentioned that in case they didn't get renewed, the deal would have been like how it ended.
Yeah.
Technically. But clearly, in this episode, when they're at the restaurant and they get the Antonio, the busboy, in trouble initially, Elaine is explaining that she's dating somebody
else, this is the first gentleman she's seen since she supposedly got back with Jerry.
And that was episode 10, the deal, or episode 9?
Something like that, 9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, like you would think that...
I think it's 9, because it was the deal and then the baby shower, Chinese restaurant, busboy.
Yeah, okay. So... how do you feel about this one? Like, let's get into the scenes, but like that, the different set pieces, I feel, are definitely like they range from me being somewhat bored to somewhat to very entertained in this episode. I don't know. Did you find the same thing?
With just the sets?
No, the story, like the episode itself, because there's portions.
It's definitely like it's slower. Everything's a slower pace.
That's it. That's the.
They're
right
still
way to
finding their footing. But it, I mean, I did like it. I do like this episode. I don't like I like watching it for the trivia.
Yeah,
but also
lots of trivia.
I mean, it's entertaining enough. I think it's pretty good. It still feels awkward in early season stuff, though.
In the opening bit, Jerry references being a foodie.
Yeah, I was like, is that the first? Maybe he invented the term foodie.
We should look that up because I was surprised at how, I guess, old that term is. I felt like it was like a 2000s phrase, but
I feel like it came in with like blogging.
Yeah.
And here, yeah, we're talking like 90, 91, Seinfeld saying, I'm not a foodie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was a good opening bit. It still works.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he came up with that. Maybe not, but it's definitely one of the earlier times I've ever heard that term, being a foodie.
I love the opening, the cave it in a book. It's got a ribbon. Like, what's this?
It's actually one of my favorite, and I reference it a lot when I'm like getting a bill at a restaurant where it's like, they bring in a little book with it. What is this? The story of the dinner? They got a little gold tassel in there. What am I graduating? Like, it's so stupid. I like.
He's got a couple of good. There was one bit that he did, and I do it sometimes to people when I'm with them, where the bill comes and I'll open up the thing and my eyes will go. Yeah. That was a bit of his too. He's like, whoa, and he put it back down.
Why am I buying food? I'm not hungry.
Yeah. So they're in that restaurant. And the one thing I did put in my notes was the point about pesto. You like pesto?
I actually love pesto. I love making pesto, fresh pesto. Ooh, I made a spicy pesto a few weeks ago.
I gotta try a spicy pesto. I never had a spicy pesto.
Well, it's just, I mean, there's different types of pesto, but I always think of basil pesto as like the main one. There's different ones. There's sun-dried tomato. There's a walnut pesto.
Like how upset it makes Joe. Why do I always get pesto? I think I'm going to like it.
Yeah, it's I guess this is an early 90s, late 80s thing. Everyone's getting pesto. Going in the restaurant, that's all you hear. Pesto, pesto, pesto. Where was pesto 10 years ago?
they have that one little moment. This is the good thing about Seinfeld is those like side joke moments where they look at the guy who's wearing the ball cap in the restaurant, and it makes me laugh because I'm that age now where I shouldn't be wearing a ball cap going out, but I don't have the hair plugs. Back in the 90s, I guess, if you were wearing a ball cap at a certain age,
plug-ola. Yeah, I mean, do you wear a ball cap at you go to a nice restaurant, you wear a ball cap?
Not at a fancy restaurant, but I think I'm at a point now where a lot of people are surprised when they see me without one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Where they're like,
right.
Oh, I didn't recognize you without your ball cap. Where's
to be fair, no
cap?
One ever recognizes you ever.
That's changing, Shane. That is changing on me.
I always think of
you not remembering me.
You remember you watch Sopranos? You're a Sopranos guy?
I'm season two. I have never watched the whole thing.
I think it's season one where that guy's wearing the ball cap in the. And I think it's Vesuvio, Artie Bucco's restaurant. And Tony goes up to him and he's like, take off the ball cap.
Yes.
And he just stands over him.
Yes. I remember that.
It stands out. Like this, so is the same thing. You see a guy in a nice restaurant with a ball cap on, you're like, what are you doing? Bugola, man.
That's true. No, never to a nice restaurant, but whenever I can, I guess I just keep one on me just in case.
Yeah.
I got all my hair still. I'm still okay for 40. Not bad. I should have been bald by now.
Let me see the back there. Let me see you got in the. Oh, it's full. You got a full head.
Not bad.
Thick.
I'm always nervous about this part.
Yeah, that's where I'm light.
And sometimes my wife will rub my head. I'm like, no, don't rub that part just in case. Leave it alone for now.
My girlfriend was literally rubbing because I still, it's like a bald spot, but there's like soft little hairs. And she's like, ooh, this hair is so soft. Like me. I was like, don't touch my bald spot.
No plug-olas yet.
No plug-olas.
So then the busboy.
Maybe I'll get plug-olas.
Do you want to get plug-olas? You just want to get Plugolas to say Plugolas.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah. I won't try to keep it quiet. I'm like, guys, I got Plugolas.
You would want everyone to reference it. So Elaine talks about the guy that she's seeing.
Ed.
This fella.
Ed. Where is he from? Yakima?
I love how Jerry has food in his mouth when he says it. Yakima?
I only know what Yakima is because of this episode. Like, I looked it up being like, oh, it's like, it's just another little small city in Washington.
Is it a real spot?
Yeah, it's a real, like, I guess it's a small town, a small city of, like, in Washington, but near, no, I mean, like, within driving distance of Seattle.
So I guess it would be, like, our version of Maple or Barry?
No, I think it's farther away than that. I think it would be, yeah, maybe like a Barry. Like, call it a
an hour,
comparable to Toronto, but... I always, it's just so stupid because anytime anyone says Seattle, I always go, you mean Yakima? And no one ever understands the joke, but it's just for me. It's fun to say. Yakima's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
I want to live in Yakima.
George compares Yakima or Seattle to the pesto of cities.
Yeah, everyone's moving to Seattle. It's the pesto of cities.
And you agree with that? What would you ever want to go to Seattle? I don't know. It's just, I think of it being rainy all the time.
I think so. Yeah. I think I would like to go to Seattle, maybe like Portland, that area. I'd like to check it out. I've talked to, Damien, our studio's from Vancouver, and I'm like, talked about like going to like Vancouver, Victoria, and then maybe going down a bit. And like, you know, I'd like to see some of that all the way, maybe down to Northern California and stuff like that.
What is it about that section? Other, I can understand like the west coast of Canada.
Oh, Rambo was filmed there, first of all.
Good enough.
I also...
Good enough.
I like rainy. I like rainy, foresty, like that vibe. I love that.
I like foresty. I just don't know about the... like. Always rainy. Like when I think about going to England, I'd like to, but it's like, does the sun ever come out there?
See, so my girlfriend, she's very, the weather affects her mood. So she definitely gets like seasonal affective disorder in the winter when you get the like cold and it's gray all the time and the blah. She gets really down sometimes. You can see it in her. When it's sunny, she's immediately like a plant, like comes to life and like the, and that
I. Doesn't affect you at all.
I love all seasons. I love hot. I love when it's snowy. I'm super happy. I love a rainy day. I love it. I want to go to Yakima.
I can appreciate the variety in seasons now. I don't like I'm with your girlfriend on the when everything is drab and cloudy and the sun's never out. It does affect me, but I do enjoy those days where there's a rainy day outside. Or it's a nice fresh snowfall, or like the season's changing. It is somewhat refreshing and it's nice, but Seattle, I don't know. I just think of Kurt Cobain playing guitar in the rain all the time.
Okay. That's
why I'm like, just
that sounds cooler. Sad. I think of fucking Frasier. I'm like, fuck Seattle.
That's right.
Fucking
you
Yakima.
Should hate Seattle just on principle of Frasier.
Yeah, take their fucking space needle. Fuck off.
Okay, so this fella Ed from Yakima, he's got the what do they say?
He was here on business and he met Elaine and they had a what'd she call it, an interpersonal experience, is what she says. And Jerry explains that he went back home and he found that the Venice tattoo does not wash off so easily.
Have you ever had that experience with somebody that you had a good first impression enough that you would want to go out of your way to see them again? Like, Seattle to New York is a significant distance to say, I'm going out that way to see that person again.
I don't think I've ever dated anyone who lives that like, far away. Like, I just stick with local, you know?
You're
like,
a very local guy.
Very local.
You don't even want to go past St. Clair.
There's enough women in Toronto that I wouldn't have to find someone in Yakima, you know what I'm saying?
But if you found out that there was a girl from Yakima in Toronto...
I'd want to date her just so I could say Yakima.
Yeah, like Jerry with Lois. Just so you can have
Yeah, you really like saying my name. Maybe a girl named Yakima. Now that maybe I'll name my kid Yakima.
Or a dog.
I was thinking a kid, yeah.
Would you really
name human me?
Yakima.
God. It's my dog Yakima. I was thinking about dog names so my dog's named Riley, which people don't realize is named after a character from the Howard Stern show.
Okay.
This guy, Riley Martin, this crazy guy that believed he was abducted by aliens. He's out of his mind. Yeah, that's why I named my dog Riley.
And she's out of her mind.
But I was like, I should have named her after. I used to love Howard Stern. It's not very good anymore, but I was really big in Stern. But I love Seinfeld more than Stern, so I should name my dog. But I was thinking, what's a good Seinfeld dog name other than Kramer or Newman?
Cosmo.
Cosmo. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But Cosmo's like, you could name your dog like George.
You could.
I guess you could. Yeah. You could. Here's my dog, Elaine Benes. Well, Katie.
Morty.
Katie Swatsky's dog is named Art after Arthur Vandelay. Oh yeah, Morty would be good. Morty be Seinfeld. Good.
What's his? What if you named your
Helen? Helen Seinfeld. Nah. What about a dog named Uncle Leo? Here's Uncle Leo.
That's a great name, but yeah, it has to be Uncle Leo.
Yeah, okay. I'm preparing for when my dog dies and then I get a new dog. I'm going to have the name ready.
What's George's mom's name?
Estelle.
Estelle. That's not bad.
Estelle. Yeah.
That's okay. A good dog. What's your dog,
Estelle? I'm just curious. You got ketchup on it.
Now I'm thinking of all these different cool names from Seinfeld because there's a lot.
I need to do Jackie Childs.
Jackie Childs is good. What about the anti-dentite?
The Wadley. Tim Watley, yeah, okay, that would be good, yeah.
Cosmo's good, though.
Yeah,
Cosmo's all right.
I like Uncle Leo, actually. Oh, yeah, I forgot his first name, Uncle.
That's a great thing to have on a dog tag.
Yeah, Uncle Leo.
The first and last, but it's like a title. That's good. What am I in my notes?
Oh, we haven't even got out of the restaurant. We haven't even lit the menu on fire yet.
No, so the menu gets set on
fire.
We're
stuck on Yakima.
So the menu's on fire. George points it out and puts it out, and then they have friendly banter with the restaurant manager, owner, whatever it was. It's just a little mishap. They joke around with him. It gets the guy fired. Antonio, the busboy.
The busboy put the menu too close to the candle.
Have you ever gotten someone fired?
I fired people.
That's true. But have you ever inadvertently?
Not an inadvertently. Well, not that I know of.
I
complain a lot, so I must have.
That's the thing. There's been times where I've complained enough and I've made it like, hey, this person wasn't impressed with what they did. Let's settle this. But I don't know if anyone's ever been fired. I've definitely complained with Rogers, where the cable company comes unannounced. And I'm like, they are supposed to be here at this time to this time, and they show up at my door knocking when I told them no one's home.
Yeah.
What's up? And then, so I've done those complaints, but I don't know if anyone's ever been fired. But it must suck to know that, especially in a job like Jerry in this episode is so flippant. I love it how he's like. Ah.
So what I like about this is I think one of the first examples of Jerry. Jerry's character becomes a very like sort of apathetic. That's a shame, you know, that type of thing. And this is one of the first like you kind of see that coming out very early on, where he's, you know, they're talking about, oh, I said this, but I had to be joking. And then Jerry goes, I didn't say anything. And then he's
how would you describe that personality that Jerry adopts over time? Because in the beginning of the show, he's a little bit more like. He talks to George for advice for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's sensitive. He cares about people and their feelings. I think apathetic's the right word. Jerry, he's sort of the cliche is Jerry like, that's a shame when something bad goes on. But he likes to bust George's balls, and he likes to, be care. It doesn't care so much when bad things happen.
Is it like a form of narcissism or like a sociopath, or he's just like, meh, whatever.
I don't think it's sociopathic. That's why I say apathetic, because it's like it's just like, that doesn't concern me.
Even if it is his fault, he's like, what do you want to do? He's a busboy.
But that's not Jerry's fault.
No, it's not Jerry's fault.
Jerry didn't say anything.
No, he really didn't say
anything. He'll probably kill his whole family.
Yeah, he paints the worst possible
picture. Jerry's right, though. It's like, what do you care? And this is why I don't like, what I don't like about this episode is George is still. It's very uncharacteristic of the George we have grown and to know and love to, like, people literally have died on the show later on and they don't care. And they go, let's go get some coffee. But he's so concerned about getting this busboy fired. Like, the real George Costanza that we know and love that he becomes, he wouldn't care about getting a busboy fired.
I think as time goes on, you're right.
But well, maybe because he's, I mean... I feel like it's always about, he makes it about him, because there is like that's this, the thing. There's the security guard at Susan's uncle's shop that he's, but I think it's just like he wants him to have a chair because he wants to make his impression on the store.
Yeah,
it's not he's not concerned about the security guard. It's more about proving them wrong that he should have a chair.
Yes, or wearing the cotton on the Yankees. Like, he gets very proud of the suggestions he makes. Like, don't forget I was the guy that told you that. But yeah, I think it's more of an example of like George being a little bit self-absorbed. Like, oh no, what's gonna happen to me now with what
so
I
that's what
the
season two George is. It's like the in the ex-girlfriend where he's concerned about getting his books back, and you're like, this is not the George I know and love, really. Not yet. He's getting there, but he's not.
Yeah, and I think that's why when you watch this episode, where it fits into the, like, it's a weird one, because as we'll go on, you see, like, this is really a coming out party for Elaine in a lot of ways. Like, her performance in this is phenomenal in some of those scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, in other episodes we discussed, we're like, no, they're not really using her yet.
No, they.
Not
this
to
is
full
a
capacity.
I mean, she has the baby shower storyline, but there's not
baby
a whole
shower,
lot.
The deal, Chinese restaurant, and then this one's a big one.
Yeah, they're starting to figure out how to write her. I know at some point she went to Larry and Jerry and said, "Hey, can you write me more? I need some more stuff to do." And
thankfully, they did.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's when they started to do that, because she's her story. I mean, like we said, Jerry doesn't have his own storyline in this. It's just George and George brings Kramer along and Elaine, and Jerry's just kind of witnessing all of these things happen.
Yeah, he's just an observer.
Yeah, it's Elaine's show.
Gives a couple comments on. Yeah, I feel the Elaine storyline is what really keeps me entertained. So waiter gets fired. George and Jerry are back at the apartment here, and I love when George tries to justify his empathy for the guy because he was the fat camp waiter.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys depended on me.
Yeah, and Jerry. I mean, there's a lot of busboy. Jerry, I guess, like, you write what you know, and Jerry in comedy clubs interacts probably a lot with busboys. So that's where this, like, these storylines and humor come from. Because there's another episode, I think it's the face painter in season 6, where there's just a scene where him and Elaine are at Monk's. And the busboy takes the thing away. Elaine goes, "Oh, I really love the soup." And Jerry goes, "Why are you telling the busboy? He doesn't care." She goes, "Well, you know." He goes, "What do you think? He's going back there talking with the, hey, they really love the soup. Like, all he can do to stop from killing himself." Like, Jerry likes his busboy humor.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. There are a couple times where that reference is brought back up, but this time around, they dedicate a whole episode to this poor Antonio, whose luck doesn't seem to be going his way as the episode goes on. I wanted to ask you a question about Ed before I forget. Have you ever met an Ed that was a perfectly fine fella, but you just hated his guts, like Elaine ends up feeling for him?
Yeah, everyone I meet is probably like...
That's good to know.
Don't you, like, I find there's so many people that they're like just nice, normal people, and I just was like, oh, I fucking can't stand this guy.
You think it's an age thing or just a personality thing? Because I find myself
just a piece of shit.
Fair. At least.
I just hate people.
Dogs are good. People suck.
Most people are not good. Okay. I don't enjoy most people's company.
And that's why Seinfeld speaks to you.
Yeah.
That would be your perfect group of friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
I think you and Jerry would be a great set of friends just hating everybody.
Yeah. I only have 3 friends. I really can't handle anyone. Yeah, there's definitely people like that where I think I remember, like, there was a time at work where my buddy Nate, who I work with, someone said something to me and they were asking a question, and I went up to him, Nate, and I was like, "Can you believe this fucking guy? He just said this."
I'm like, your beard is right on top
of it.
Yeah.
And I went up to my buddy Nate and I was like, this guy, I can't remember what he said exactly, but I remember being like, "Who's this fucking guy who wants to talk to me? He's coming over, he's spreading." And Nate goes to me, "I think the guy's just being nice. Like, he's just trying to make conversation." And I literally was painting him as like the biggest prick on earth because he spoke to me. I was just like, how dare he?
This guy's friendly.
Yeah. I was like, how dare this man speak to me? Like, anytime a stranger who I don't know just starts talking to me, my whole thing is just like, why are they talking to me?
Throws me off on the train. When people just suddenly talk to me on the train, not a big fan.
anytime anyone talks to me, does this happen to you? You walk your dog and then people, they'll be driving and they'll just pull over or lower the window and just go, "Oh, beautiful dog." And I'm just like, fuck off, man. Like, what are you really had to roll down your window and stop to say that? Like, just drive away. Like, why do you have to tell someone their dog?
Not going to lie, I've been guilty of that. I was pulling out from work and we were driving in an alleyway out the back of the building. And I saw this like shepherd mix puppy. I don't know what it was. Yeah. It was just so cute. And I just pulled my window down and I was just looking. And I hit the garbage dump with my car because I was just like, and the door of the garbage swung open. All I hear is crack. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And I came out of the car. The girl lady goes, "Are you okay?" Well, yeah, I was looking at your really cute dog and I ran into this dumpster. So
I think a puppy is different. A puppy, you expect people to stop and say stuff. But we're talking a regular adult dog, just a dog.
Keep it moving.
You don't have to stop and tell me my dog. Sometimes I see dogs and I go, "That's a beautiful dog." And you know what I don't do? Speak to the owner and tell them their dog is.
What about if you're at the dog park?
I don't see people at the dog park. My dog doesn't like other dogs, so we go at midnight.
You're special. Yeah, I get it. Okay, that makes sense.
I can't go to the dog park like a normal person.
Not with Riley, no.
No.
Okay, so Jerry and George are going over this whole busboy fiasco. Elaine comes in. She's got the deets on how to find Antonio because his phone line is out.
She's one clever chickadee.
What's his address, Shane? Trivia time.
I know it's Amsterdam Avenue. I don't know the. I know it's apartment 4D, but I don't know the number. I only remember it's Amsterdam Avenue because Royal Cleaners, you know, in the Big Salad episode where Steve Gennison kills Pincus, the dry cleaner.
Okay.
I just remember that Royal Dry Cleaners was on Amsterdam Avenue as well.
1324 Amsterdam Avenue, apartment 4D.
4D, yeah.
There you go.
And what's Jerry's apartment in this episode?
I don't know.
3A, still 3A. He's not 5A yet.
I leave the Jerry's apartment up to you because you're always watching that door. So Jerry doesn't want anything to do with the busboy and
going yeah, Jerry's like, they're busboys. He'll get another job. And he's right. I don't know why George is so concerned. I guess George is like, he just feels guilty himself that he caused it. But what does Jerry say? He's like, that's the business. I know. I work with these guys. I talk to them in the kitchen at comedy clubs. What does he say about the, it's not a job where you, he's like, let's face it, it's not a profession where you embellish your resume and undergo a series of grueling interviews.
That's right. He could be one of these guys that prick people. Because he said to George,
why don't you get him a job?
Get him a job.
He's one of those people that would walk down the street pricking people with pins. Elaine comes in. She has the address. His phone's been disconnected. I don't like that. Like, yeah, why does George have to go right? This is, again, with George. He's too concerned, so he has to do it immediately.
Yeah, see, this is the part of the episode where I just feel like, is this really necessary? Now, it's fun because Jerry suggests to bring the K-Man for moral support. Now, would you bring the K-Man anywhere with you for some shenanigans?
I'd bring the K-Man everywhere. You would bring him everywhere. Bring me where? Where? Bring me where?
And as soon as they get there, he just makes a disaster.
Yeah, he's I get that feeling of being like having that friend where you're like, oh, please don't do anything stupid. Well, I'm not an idiot.
Have you ever had a friend or known somebody that was so quick to make themselves at home the way Kramer does? Like, he goes into this guy's apartment and serves himself water. Like, he doesn't even hesitate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah, there's for sure it's got to be people like that. When I'm going to someone's house the first time, like, I very take a while to very feel comfortable.
Yeah, right? It's just manners.
Yeah. Unless it's like my close friends, I can go to his house and just like go in his fridge or whatever. But other than that,
but
like,
that's established though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this guy's going to a person, like, we're not even on good terms with this fellow.
What does he say? Como si dice waterbed?
Habla español.
I had to, like, because you speak Spanish, right?
I don't speak Spanish. I understand a little bit, oh, and good. I can kind of like get by.
Well, I had to look up like what was como se dice, man. It literally means
how do you say.
So he's just like, how do you say water? That another thing dates it quite a bit too, because like water beds.
That's Did you know anyone with a water bed?
I had a water bed in the 90s. Someone, my uncle or someone, got rid of 80s was water bed time. Everyone had a water bed. I had one in like high school. Someone was like, my uncle or someone was like, do you want this waterbed? I was like, absolutely. It's a nightmare. Well, waterbeds are awful.
My parents had one.
It's also good when my heater broke at some point, so I just had a cold waterbed, which sucks ass.
But looking back, what was the point of that? What was the point of a waterbed?
It's just an 80s thing, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it had to. Everyone had one for a while. It just seemed like the thing that the parents had. But there's nothing about it.
I think it's just the novelty of it. It was just like, oh, and I'm sure there was probably like, oh, it's better for you to sleep on water or something like that. But it sucked.
But everything about it, like as an adult, just seems like the most uncomfortable sleep.
It was good when it was warm, because it's like kind of like it feels like you're in a warm bath a little bit. But I remember my heater broke at some point and we just never got a new one. So it was like
cold water.
It was just a cold water bed. So I just put like extra blankets on top. So I was like, it just wasn't that good.
No. And they've never made a comeback. It's not one of those.
No, because they're stupid.
They are stupid.
I remember one time when I was young, I was probably like, 17, 18, 19. When you start first going out, getting drunk with your friends and stuff like that. And I remember I came home like super drunk and I was on my water bed and I was lying down. And I remember I was like, I got to turn the light off to go to bed, and I was so drunk I just couldn't get out of the waterbed to hit the light, and I was flopping around and I just gave up and went to bed on the waterbed with like, and I think that was where I was like, I gotta get rid of this fucking bed.
Did you have a girl ever have a girl in the waterbed?
No, I only had it when I lived with like my parents when I was a teen, so not really.
Imagine how like,
yeah, it would be hard. I think it would be like, maybe at some point it would be easier to, you know, use the momentum of the water or something, but
maybe
I think,
you get like,
but it just seems
going
like a nightmare.
It does,
because the mattress always sinks in where you step, yeah, and then they get that gap with like the wood part and like scrape your leg along the side
sometimes
of the bed.
Sometimes you need a little leverage and you're just going to be sinking on,
yeah,
one side. It seems,
yeah,
bad.
I can't imagine.
No, like, bueno. No. Watermelon.
Screw on a washing machine is probably better.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no bueno. So poor Antonio. Here he is.
But why did they don't explain, why does Kramer ask how you say waterbed?
That's the thing. That's what's so funny. That's what's funny, because it's so random.
Did you say waterbed?
How would you say waterbed? Cama de agua. That's how you would say it.
But is it, is it like
a room? That's a room, not a bed.
See, that's a, like, would it translate the same way? Because I remember when you talked about like cacahuete. So like peanut butter, if you just change those words, peanut and butter, it doesn't mean what it means in Spanish, right?
Not at all.
So you had to say cacahuete.
Which I didn't, because yeah, I told you that story when I was in Spain.
Yeah.
I wanted some peanut butter or peanut topping on top of a frozen yogurt that they were giving me at dinner time. And they didn't, my wife had a phrase that she used for peanut butter, but then she made it very literal and they're just like, no, yeah, idea. And like that thing, what you got right there, like, oh, cacahuete. And I'm, yeah, like, I don't want that. That does not sound appealing. But
yeah, so maybe waterbed, maybe that doesn't translate to like bed and water. Maybe there's a cacahuete,
there's
word.
There's got to be an agua involved in it.
Como se dice waterbed?
Okay. So not only does this poor guy have these two clowns in his house and he's lost his job, they left the puerta. Yeah. Abierta, as they say, they left the door open.
Yeah.
And his cat, Paquita.
Yeah.
I call my apprentice Paquito, funny enough. But Paquita.
That just means small, right? Como se dice Paquita?
Yeah, something like that. But now his cat goes missing and Kramer breaks his lamp. Like,
yeah,
worst possible luck for poor Antonio.
Yeah, well, he's got that wire sticking out. They really show, like we were saying, Antonio's apartment, they really make it look pretty fucking run down. All of the paint is chipping everywhere in the hallway, in the door.
He's a man of little means.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a table. It's not just like a little, I mean, it's
I like
not
his t-shirts.
I don't know. His clothes are too. They intentionally, I think, made his clothes too small.
I think a little bit small.
Eric didn't. I think he was not impressed by that. I keep pointing out that you can see Antonio's full cock and balls in his pants. It's this bulge.
He's backing.
The entire time. You can't, like, I'm going to stare at it. I can't not. It's like a car wreck. Can't look away. You gotta look at it. You're like, don't look there. And you look, and it's right there.
Do you typically look at the bulges without even recognizing 100%.
It? 100%. I'm checking out what's going on. If you got a bulge, I'm going to see what's going on.
Do you let the guys know that you...
Someday, yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm looking at random, but like, yeah, if you're smuggling plums, I'm going to look at them, you know?
Who's the last guy you told, I see you're smuggling the plums?
I don't know. My friends, if my friends have a bulge or something like that, I always got to point out the moose knuckle.
You're a jerk.
And they should point out to me, too. It's funny.
So Antonio's got the moose knuckle.
It's not bad. He's got a big hog. You can see it through his jeans. That's not bad.
He's got something working for him.
He's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Things are going to turn around.
His posture we were talking about is so funny. He's so, like chest out, really aggressive.
Very confident.
Yeah.
Right? Very assertive.
I don't know if it's confidence. It's like, I feel like it's like a silverback gorilla. Like, he's like,
he's ready, but he's always ready to, as you'll see later in the episode.
I understand why George is scared of him.
That's true. Antonio's not a big guy, but he's definitely assertive. Like, yeah. He enters a room and
yeah,
he's got that Latino machismo.
I wouldn't fuck with Antonio.
No, you wouldn't?
Not with that big hog in his pants.
Not even if he was a busboy and you were the main chef? If he worked under you?
Oh, he worked for me. You got to do your job.
But it's all right. You're packing plums.
You're packing, yeah.
Okay, so maybe Paquita will show up 3 years later, Kramer tells him.
His aunt had a cat that disappeared, showed up 3 years later?
Yeah.
Kramer's not helpful at all. He's making things worse constantly.
Completely. So where are we
George now? Gives him his business card, tells him, you know, if you're...
looking for real estate, I'm your guy.
Yeah, maybe not right now, but if you're looking for a new place or something like that.
What's the next scene after this?
They cut to Jerry's apartment. Jerry's on the phone with George, and he's
going back.
A week later, they've said, because he goes, Kramer, when do you want to go look for the cat again? He goes, it's been a week. It's up to the cat.
That's right. We are. You can come and sit with us.
Pod.
Oh, okay.
Want to talk Seinfeld?
I have nothing to contribute.
What's your favorite Seinfeld episode?
What's my favorite Seinfeld? I like the one where Jerry and Elaine sleep together.
The deal?
The deal.
It's just the only one you could think of, right?
It's the first one that comes to my head.
All right,
it's a good one.
It's not. It's a terrible episode.
That's terrible. See, I don't know why, though. I like that episode.
Because the networks were pushing them to get them back
snob,
together.
Kyle.
Oh, because it wasn't there.
They wanted it to be like, will they get together? Like a Pam and Jim type thing. Like, will they, won't they?
It doesn't even feel like that, though.
But that's why they did it. Because they kept being like, you should get them together. And Larry David was like, we don't want that. And then they thought that episode might be the last one they ever did. So they're like, we'll just get them together.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny.
But it was clever.
It's not funny. Yeah.
Right? It became like the first Friends with Benefits type of thing on a sitcom, right? Where people are like making the rules how this could work.
And I just thought the comedy between those two.
It was good.
Were good.
It was better good. Episodes.
Yeah, for sure. I told you. I can't talk.
Don't, you can talk about it. Like, no. I'm gonna do a bonus episode. There you go.
With Kyle.
Doing with Kyle behind.
We're here with
back.
Kyle J. Smith. What's your favorite Seinfeld episode? I don't know. The one I remember. I can't remember any others.
And Shane will be in the background. Yeah, it sucks. Bad taste.
Anything with Kronk, dude. What's his name? The guy, Elaine's boyfriend, the guy who plays Kronk in Emperor's New Groove.
David Putty.
David Putty.
Yeah.
Kronk.
Any episode with him.
Oh yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's eight ball jacket.
Yeah.
Face paint. Okay. Thanks, Kyle.
That was leave that in. That's special
Absolutely.
Guest star Kyle special. J. Smith.
That's what happens when
his
you're
his thoughts on Seinfeld.
He likes the one, like, get out of here, you suck.
He likes the one where David Putty's in it.
Gronk. Well, David Putty's Putty would be a good puppy name, right?
Oh yeah, that would be good.
There
yeah.
you go. There's another
yeah.
one. Putty.
Putty. Yeah, that is a good dog name, yeah.
Right? Putty the puppy. So they're back at the apartment. Jerry's on the phone with George.
I do like this exchange.
That exchange is great.
With Kramer. Jerry's talking to George. So Kramer's
The apartment with Antonio, where they go there, that's the slow part for me.
It's very slow.
I'm just like, oh, come on, let's get out of here. It's like, what's going on?
But when especially compared to later episodes where it's like boom, 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 they're moving those plots along real quick.
Exactly. But when they do go back to Jerry's apartment and he's having the banter, the argument with George and Jerry on the phone, that was good.
No, well, sorry, it's been a week Kramer. Now. It's up to the cat.
That's right.
Well, it'll be on your conscience. Well, how do you figure? Well, you're the one who left the door open. Why was I in charge of closing the door? Why was he in charge of closing the door?
Let me talk to him.
Call him on your phone.
Yeah. So Elaine is ready to, she's had her week with Ed, the guy who from Yakima.
Yeah, Ed from Yakima.
She's ready to get
rid of him. He's a lovely, he's a nice guy, but she hates his guts.
Hates his guts. And she's got a whole plan of how to get this guy out of her life.
Yeah.
Not only time and date, but even the route to the airport that seems impossible to make, she's got it. Do you remember the route? Oh, no, this is after. I was going to say best places in the city to use the bathroom. George has the list, but
we haven't gotten there.
We haven't gotten there yet.
That's before her monologue.
That's right. So what do you remember the route to take if you need to get to what they're going to LaGuardia?
I think it's to Jeff. Well, LaGuardia and JFK, I think, are not. It's just same kind of direction. They're both like in Queens, I think, right?
Yeah.
Forgive us, we're Toronto people. We don't know it as well.
They're in the same general direction, but they are. I think
LaGuardia is like more south. I think it's right. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they say where, but I thought they were going to JFK, the Van Wyck, and then she paid a cabbie $5 for. He turned her on to the Rockaway Boulevard shortcut.
That's right. I have it written down. What does she take?
Were you looking it up when we were watching? Is it the map?
No, I was writing it.
You come across the bridge from Manhattan into Queens, and then I don't know the Van Wyck. I don't know the road.
That's the way she took.
Queensville, yeah.
Queens Boulevard, took the shoulder. That's later. The Van Wyck is the key. The Van Wyck to the Rockaway Boulevard.
So maybe it is LaGuardia, because isn't Rockaway Boulevard go south? We were talking about that's where Kramer wants to go hit the golf balls in the marine biologists. We're going to take 600 Titleists out to Rockaway and hit him into the ocean.
As he looks into the distance? Yeah. That's right. So Elaine's got the whole plan. After that scene with Elaine, is that when George and Jerry are in the apartment and they're talking about all of the places in the city? It must be. Because after that is when Elaine is in her apartment waking up to go to the airport, right?
Yeah, so Elaine says that she's got to get this guy out of her life. She's pretending she's had her period for 5 days so that she, because she doesn't want to, she'd sleep on the edge of the bed. And he's a nice guy. She just hates him. She just hates him.
Have you ever been in Ed's position where you've gone out of your way to hook up with someone and they just put the kibosh on it?
No girl would say no to me. I'm, you know, charming I am. They're having me over. They're going to...
After you cook a lababka for
them. Yeah, fucking no way, man. Pesto. I'm not a fucking loser from Yakima. I'm a fucking man. No, I don't know.
Never happened. Did they give you that? I'm on my period for 5 days. Poor Ed. Nah. You went all that way.
I mean, I would like to think I'm more receptive or observant than Ed. If I could tell the girl wasn't enjoying my time, I might leave early.
Right, Ed did not have a clue. The guy was ready to stick around.
Kind of a dummy.
A little bit.
Yakima idiots.
Didn't even pack his bag before he
was They should have packed the bag, but I mean, then it wouldn't be funny in the scene if they were back there ready to go.
That's true.
Anyway, she says that they're getting up at 8. His flight's at 10:15. That should give him enough time. And they cut to, she says it's 9:15, but the clock says 9:14 when they wake up. But either way, they've slept in. The alarm didn't go off.
No, this is the very next scene. You're right. When George is talking about the places, that's when Elaine shows up.
Yeah, after she's done the drive.
That's right. I feel that the scene of her trying to get Ed out of the apartment is one of the best Elaine moments in Seinfeld.
I think it's great, yeah. She's good.
Her acting and the way that she is able to insert the humor, it doesn't seem like... It seems like it was something that just came to her as naturally as possible. Because there's times with Elaine where you see her in the outtakes crack and you can understand why. But in this one, It almost seems like, maybe I'm incorrect, but like the camera, it never seems like it really cuts. It just shows her going across that room and going through drawers and pushing him around and making him get dressed. It's amazing performance.
Yeah. Shoes weren't invented in the 4th century. She packed it. She's just throwing. So it'll take us 45 minutes together. It only leaves me 5 minutes to get the plane. Shut up and pack.
Where's my sweater? My brown sweater.
You want a brown sweater? Here's a brown sweater. No, I can't take your sweater. He's got cashews in the kitchen, a bag of cashews.
What's great too is the later on when, because she makes the thing about the shoes. Like, I need my shoes. Like, you don't need shoes. Later on, you see Elaine, no shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. Like, she meant it. So
she's driving with no shoes. You ever driven with no shoes?
I think I've tried it. It's
horrible. I did it, remember, like when I was in like Wasaga or something when I was a kid, and like, you're just, we're running around and like flip. I remember going like, I got to go to the store or something. And I didn't have my shoes. And I was like literally barefoot on the pedals. It feels very odd.
It doesn't feel safe.
It doesn't feel safe. It feels like you're going to crash.
Yeah. I feel you need rubber on your foot.
At least a flip flop, you know,
something to separate the sole from the.
A slide, as they're called now. They're called slides. They're not flip flops anymore.
I still call them flip flops.
Yeah. But when you buy them, okay, they're slides.
Tangent question really bothers me. People wearing slides with socks. I'm not a fan.
So it used to be a big faux pas.
Right?
Now I feel like it's just like a normal thing now. It also used to be a faux pas to wear like stripes and plaid. And people just wear whatever. No, there's no rules anymore. People do whatever they want.
I feel the flip flops and socks should still be a faux pas.
It is. I got to be honest. I don't mind it. And I've done it. And I'll do it again.
Have to give it a try.
It's not so bad. I mean, I never used to do it because it was like, you don't do that, you look like an idiot. But it's become a normal thing where kids do it all the time.
I think more the fact that it's become a fashion statement, yeah, where it's not just like I'm wearing socks. Yeah. It's like I'm wearing socks up to my,
yeah,
all the way up my calf. That's the part that throws me off.
Well, I don't wear socks that go past my ankle ever.
I'm not allowed to anymore. My wife always reminds me, you look stupid in those things. Why aren't your ankles
showing? Long socks or ankle showing?
No. Ankles. I have to have ankle socks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I can't have long sports socks.
When we were young, they didn't have ankle socks for men. It was only women.
Yeah. I feel like that.
And then they came out and I was like, this is great. I don't want a sock that, I don't like being restricted, and I don't like I don't need a sock going up my leg.
It's true. And it just looks better.
Yeah.
It looks better.
I got made fun of at my friend's house the other day. One of my buddies, Crookshank, who's on my trivia team, he made fun of my socks. He goes, you're wearing summer anklet socks in the winter? And I go, I wear these all winter. I don't ever wear any. I don't own other socks.
I only wear other socks like that for work, for warmth. That's the only reason. But otherwise, this is the highest
ankle. I go cold ankle all the time. My full ankle, I go lower. Full ankle's out. Minus 40. My ankles are bare. I don't care.
The only thing with those type of socks is sometimes they slide down the foot.
No. They throw them out.
Fair enough.
Throw them out.
The worst is when they start going down the shoe and you always got to fix them.
I've had that like at work. I'm in the middle and I work in a kitchen. So every time if I adjust my sock, then I have to go and wash my hands, obviously. So if I've in the middle of a service, just flip my sock right off into the garbage and just go like, those socks are done now. I can't have that happen.
So you're barefoot in the kitchen like Elaine.
No, I'm still wearing them. I'm still wearing my kitchen shoe, but I'm barefoot in the kitchen shoe, which is not a fun feeling.
But
flip-flop socks I like.
All right.
I'm for it. It's one of those things where I got to be honest, I do it and I like it.
Confession time. I like it. Okay. So one of the scenes I love is just the quiet moments with Jerry and George when they just talk about random shit.
Yeah.
And this is when George is testing Jerry about the best places in the city.
They're setting up a recurring joke that will come back later.
Yes.
Also in Curb Enthusiasm. We've talked about it before. But later in the Bizarro Jerry, they reference this. George knows in the city, give him any intersection, he'll tell you the best public washroom that you can use. Which is, again, goes to our George toilet humor. He loves his toilets.
Was Seinfeld shot in the dark? I remember as a kid, this is random, and it has to do with toilet humor. But I remember watching, of all shows, Blossom, which was on NBC.
Yeah.
And they made a reference saying that people in sitcoms, you never see them use the washroom. And they said, in Seinfeld, they do all the time. Was Seinfeld the show that made that like a normal thing?
Where
someone just comes out of the bathroom, like you knew that they had to, they were in there.
Literally, yeah. There was like, I mean, I think George is the linchpin for that. He loves to use the bathroom. He loves his toilet. There's so many storylines that are about George and
taking
toilets.
Taking off his clothes.
Taking off his clothes. Even when, I love when he talks to Susan about the stalls going all the way down to the floor.
He's definitely an aficionado for taking a shit.
He, even like when he's talking about the Civil War, and he goes, what do you think they did for toilet paper in the Civil War? Like, that was like, he's like, what is it with you? It's always about toilets with you.
Yeah, it's true.
That's why he quit Rick Barr Properties, man. He stormed out because he couldn't his boss's private.
He was always about having a cozy kata.
Yeah. Even in one of my favorite George bathroom moments is in the beginning of season 9 in the butter shave. When George is, they think he's handicapped, so they give him the handicap washroom, and that's why he gets, and he goes, they got that high toilet. I feel like a gargoyle perched on a building. I don't know why, but that's so funny to me. Like, why is that more enticing? Like, a toilet make you feel like a gargoyle.
It's not a comfortable thing. Have you ever sat on a high toilet?
I don't know, but he makes it sound like, yeah, maybe I do want to feel like a gargoyle perched on a building.
Low toilets all the time, Shane.
As a plumber. I'd like like an average height toilet. I don't want low.
No?
Low? Like a little kid's toilet?
Not
like
a little kid, but they always say to have your knees closer to your chest. It makes the whole process easier. You don't want to be personal.
I don't have any problem in that department. I'm a good pooper. I'm an excellent pooper. I'm an excellent
pooper. Party pooper.
But it's like low. I think of like, last time we did Seinfeld Trivia at the Pint, the urinal, one of the was closed off. I had to use the low urinal. It's like the kid's urinal.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Feels weird.
I had to install.
Pissing down between your ankles almost.
Yeah, I had to install urinals one time, and it was positioned way too low, and I felt so stupid being the guy to like, I got to install this. They're all kid level.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be. And I'm like, this
feel like
not
that
right.
Scene in Billy Madison when he has to use the kid's toilet, the urinal, and he like falls over.
Yeah, it's true. As once that's the only option in a restroom, it's not fun. It's not your best choice. I'd rather piss in the toilet at that point.
They shouldn't have kid urinals. You know what? You're a little kid, piss your pants.
Piss your pants? That's what you'd rather have in a society of kids.
Yeah, no toilet like for piss. You, kid. Either no piss higher or piss your pants. I don't care.
Get used to this arrangement. Piss higher.
No. So now George, he can tell you the best toilet in the city where it give him any intersection. I can't remember the intersections that Jerry says.
54th and 6th.
That's Sperry Rand Building. Morgan Apparel. Ask for my name. 13th floor, 14th floor.
14th floor.
14th floor. I guess they don't have 13th floor a lot, but it's 14th floor, Morgan Apparel. Ask for my name. She'll give you the key. I love that.
65 and 10th.
That's Lincoln's. Are you kidding? Lincoln Center. Alice Tully Hall. The Met. Magnificent facilities.
All right. I'm going to do our city. Let's say Dundas and. Dundas Square. Where would you go?
Oh my God. The entire Dundas Square is a fucking toilet. I don't know, man. I wouldn't go to the bathroom in Dundas Square. Every place is fucked up around there.
Spadina and Bloor.
I'm George Costanza. I got to
feel. Yeah, I'm testing you.
I like to poop in public.
You do?
Not in the streets, but no, like, but like... I enjoy a good public washing poop. Like, really? I don't hold it. I go. Let me see. Spadina. there's a Metro there. It's got a nice bathroom, actually. You can use the bathroom at Metro.
That's a good call. I didn't even think of the Metro.
Metro, yeah.
There you go.
There's lots of restaurants. There's a Tim Hortons. Lots of good spots there.
Okay. How about Queen and Spadina?
Oh, my God. The only thing I can think of. Oh, Queen and Spadina, you're going to go... Horseshoe Tavern. No, Horseshoe Tavern is disgusting. What am I talking about? The only, I'm like thinking about the McDonald's there, which is the one of the worst McDonald's in the city. Oh, I'm going to say go Cameron House.
Will they let you use the bathroom there?
Just walk in. Don't ask.
Can I ask you? Can I give them your name?
Give her a name. They'll give you the key. To be honest, Cameron House isn't. They're like Horseshoe and Cameron House are music venues. They're not that beautiful.
That's so funny.
Maybe the Black Bull.
I think it's hilarious that you and George share that thing in common of, hey, if you got to do a public pool, you got to know where you got. And you had the Metro lined up. That was a good call.
Yeah. Grocery stores are usually good because a lot of people don't realize grocery stores have a bathroom and they have to let you use it.
Is that right?
Yeah, they have. They
have to.
They can lie to you and shit, but like legally, I think they have to let you use it.
Isn't that the same with Starbucks?
Maybe, yeah. Oh, Starbucks is great, but Starbucks is usually a lineup for a good... There's also not as many Starbucks as there used to be.
You think so?
They closed a ton of them after COVID and they haven't reopened. All down Yonge Street, they're all gone.
You know what? You're right. I don't see them as often as I used to.
But I love a good Starbucks. Not just for the toilet.
Do you?
I like their coffee.
What's your drink of choice?
Oh, I get whatever the seasonal latte is. I get an oat version of...
Oh, you say... Okay,
I love a pumpkin spice latte. And sometimes I go to other places because I go... I know, I don't want to support a giant evil corporation, which is what Starbucks is. I'd rather go to a Dineen coffee or a small independent place. But that pumpkin spice, man, Starbucks does it right.
Can't help yourself.
It's so good.
It's pretty
good. I had a pistachio latte there and there the other day.
Nice.
Get it half sweet, extra shot of espresso. Perfect. You always go half sweet at Starbucks.
Half sweet?
Because it's too sweet otherwise.
I find too sweet for me. I can't
ask for half sweet, yeah.
All right. Back to Jerry's apartment. Elaine comes in. She had the whole route figured out.
Yeah, this is Elaine's shining moment.
This is so what was the route that she took? Where did it all go wrong for her? Other than the fact that her and Ed slept in.
What was it? I guess she goes, I know she takes the Queens Boulevard, she took the shoulder.
Yep.
She got to the Van Wyck. She did the... I can't remember what she does in the van.
Jewel Avenue. On the median.
The median.
Then she hit the Van Wyck.
And if it wasn't for that...
Five-car
pileup. Oh, she said no one's ever beaten the Van Wyck. But I've come as close as humanly possible.
That's right.
If it wasn't for that five-car pileup on Rockaway Boulevard, the numbskull would be on a plane to Seattle right now instead of looking for a parking space downstairs. I love that because I love when Elaine cries.
Yeah.
She breaks up and cries quite a lot in the show, but that's like the first really good moment where she like.
What is a worse friend chore? Having to pick up someone at the airport or having to help them move?
Oh, they both suck.
I know.
The airport sucks.
Why does the airport suck?
I hate the airport. I hate airports. I hate waiting for things. I just hate airports. My brother works for cruise ships, so he would stay with me for a bit, and then you go, I didn't go to the airport, go to the cruise ship for however long, 3 months, 6 months, sometimes. But he would always, I don't have a car anymore, but I used to drive him to the airport, and it was a nightmare. And there was one time, my brother is one of the most annoying people on earth. There was one day where I had to drive him to the airport and I couldn't. It was like Ed. I was like, you got to pack your shit. We got to go. Like,
you don't need shoes. Like,
shut up and pack. It was like, I was like, I need to get him fucking out of my house. He's driving me nuts. And I drove him to the, I was driving him to the airport is what he said. Drive me to the airport. But he was like, oh, I got to stop over here and get my, there's a medical center. He had to go get some like medical records for the thing. And I was like, so it was just a whole day of me driving, chauffeuring him around to do these little errands. I was like, I thought I was just driving. And anyways, we end up driving to the airport in rush hour on a Friday. We get there. He missed his plane by 20 minutes.
No.
So not only am I pissed that I'm stuck at the airport, now I got to drive back through rush hour. It's still rush hour.
It's a disaster.
I got to drive. I got to fucking, my brother has this thing, like a deviated septum. His nose is like, it drives me insane. But when you're stuck in traffic.
That's not the brother I met.
No, he's my oldest brother. You haven't met him, but I wanted to kill him because I had to now drive back through rush hour again from the airport to home so I can drive him back tomorrow. And then the next day, I think his flight was at, he rebooked it for a flight at like 8 o'clock in the morning. We got up at 6. I don't think I said a word to him. We got in the car and I drove him to the airport as fast as I could. He was like, all right, have a good night. And I just went, bah! I just peeled out. Like, I was just like, fuck you, man. I was so mad at him.
So you can definitely relate to Elaine's.
Oh, yeah.
Tears.
Oh, I was so angry.
Me and my wife are very lucky. We've got a great friend who always takes us to the airport and we always pick her up too. But it's a key person. That person you can rely on for shit like that.
No, never. Take an Uber, man. What the fuck?
I'm at that point, too. I'll take an Uber and I'll hire movers if I have to. Because those two things are... I hate doing them. Like, especially helping someone move. But the airport and move, that's... You only ask a person that you feel is really your friend to do that for you. Yeah.
Can't Keith Hernandez, though, man.
No. That's right. So the ultimate moment comes and the bus boy shows up.
Yeah, this is a funny scene because it's like Elaine does this like intense monologue. And then literally a minute after, Antonio, the bus boy's coming. And he comes in and does a really intense monologue.
So intense.
Yeah, he's extremely intense.
Man. People have lost their lives in his monologue.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Five people.
A gas main blew up at the restaurant where he worked and killing five people. And including the busboy that replaced him.
So that's six. No, is that five? Or
well, he says five people, including the busboy. So I'm assuming he's one of the five people. So it wasn't for George's stupid, insensitive comment, he would have been killed. So George saved his life, actually.
And Paquita came back.
And he was out looking for Paquita. And he came across another restaurant, got a job where they pay him almost double what he was getting before. And maybe frightened from the explosion, Paquita came home. So things were good.
Sometimes a little bit of George Costanza bad luck. And
George running away being scared is pretty funny. Kramer being like so excited, like the busboy's coming and laughing.
He was so
thrilled. The funny thing is during the entire thing is George is holding an orange.
Yeah.
While the busboy's, he thinks the busboy's going to go, he's just holding an orange in his hand.
I love how the busboy embraces him and like, your stupid insensitive comments saved my life.
Yeah.
And he rubs his face like someone he just adores. No, it's the episode I feel has the ebbs and flows of like really slow moment that come back around and pay off.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the standout.
Yeah. This is one of the first now you're starting to see what Seinfeld got famous for. Different storylines now sort of dovetailing together at the end. And that's what happens here when Ed's coming up from parking the car and Antonio's going to his new job because he's very late. Ed and Antonio get in a fight in the stairwell and they both get injured.
That poked out chest of Antonio.
He's
confrontational.
He's very, well, I take his side over Ed.
Do you?
Yeah. He was like, why don't you watch where you're going? I was here first or whatever he says.
And Antonio, just like that, Antonio's luck turns back on him. He's got to stay away from George. Seems to be the
That's thing. Not George's fault.
It's not. None of it is really George's fault. It's just the fact that Antonio and George can't occupy the same space because things don't go well for Antonio after
his encounters. I think Antonio just has bad luck, man.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, is he... put the menu next to the candle. What are you doing?
It did save his life, though.
Saved his life.
And Paquita came back.
Yeah.
So there
but now he can't get a job until the cast comes off. So they cut to the next scene, the last scene in the diner at Monk's.
You love that moment when Jerry looks at the busboy.
It's great. So we find out that George is helping take care of Paquita. Well, I don't know why the busboy can't feed Paquita. He's got a cast on. He can still feed his cab. But
yeah,
George has to get there. If he doesn't feed Paquita by 7, she goes all over everything. I guess they're insinuating that he's still in the hospital maybe. That's why. And Elaine is like, how long till he can go back to Seattle or till he can feed himself?
He's become a complete invalid now, which sucks.
Second, this is the first of many times Elaine's boyfriend. But don't forget about Owen Marsh.
That's right.
Yankee Bean. it ends with the busboy coming over and Jerry's just eating his son. Jerry's, how you doing?
It's a great ending. Jerry with his mouth full.
Did you notice back, if we go back to Antonio's apartment, when Kramer comes and breaks his lamp, did you notice what Kramer's wearing there?
Harley Davidson t-shirt.
Do you know what else he's wearing? He's wearing a Harley Davidson t-shirt, which is not characteristic of Kramer.
Looks like he's wearing a trench coat.
It looks beltless like the, trench coat.
The, yeah, it looks like the Morty
the first Seinfeld. Appearance of the executive.
The executive, that's right.
Yeah,
because Kramer always
they're said a hot he, item at Rudy's.
He loved that jacket.
Yeah,
right. They're a hot item.
That's what he's wearing there.
Good call. Wow, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. I was watching. I was like, is that trench coat got a belt? It does not.
That's a good call. Nice. I like that. Is it time for giddy ups?
I think it's time for giddy ups. Yeah.
Go for it. How many giddy ups?
Oh my God. Now I'm trying to think of what, when we recorded the first one, we'll give it. I'll give this a 6 out of 10 giddy ups. It's not my favorite. It's funnier than I remember. It's got some good moments. It's got some good stuff that pays off later that starts to build up, like George and his toilets. And yeah, I like it's all right. It's entertaining.
I'd give it a 5 because I really like half of it.
Yeah.
And then there's a portion of it where I feel like I can do without. But the stuff with Elaine and the dialogue between Jerry and George, I just that's the shit about Seinfeld that I love. And yeah. It was one of those clips that make it into the Seinfeld highlight reel.
Yeah.
With her flipping out the way she did. And it can't, I mean, just as an actress, if you're anybody watching like a funny sitcom moment, this one will always stand the test of time, I feel. Because again, it's like you pretty much lived the situation very similar to her trying to get this guy in Rush Hour, right? So you can, it's super relatable.
I wish I could send my brother to Yakima.
He really works on a cruise ship?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
For 3 months, he's gone.
He goes on a different contract, but sometimes he'll be gone for 6 months. Sometimes it was a couple months. Sometimes it'd be 6 weeks, depending on like what kind of contract they go on. But yeah, he'd go on and off for the whole time, like since he's been doing it for 20 years now.
Wow. Good for him. Shout out to Shane's brother.
That sounds like a nightmare. What are you
talking? It doesn't sound that fun. But
I don't want
to. Unless you like to travel.
I hate to travel.
Yeah, you don't even like to leave your block.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of season 2. We're off to the races now with season 3. We're back in the podcast
form. Season 3 is good.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
Should we do an episode where we recap the first 2 seasons, or should we just get right into season 3 and full force? Because we've got a lot of episodes to catch up on.
Well, I made notes of this season 2. Let me ask you yours, and I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
Give me your top 3 episodes from season 2.
All right, top 3 episodes.
Once the seasons get longer, we'll do a top 5 at the end of the season.
Okay. But
this is a short season. So
top 3 episodes of season 2 were Pony Remark, Baby Shower, and The Chinese Restaurant.
Mm. So mine's close. Mine's Chinese Restaurant, number 1. Pony Remark, number 2. I don't really like anything else that much, so I think the phone message was pretty good.
Yeah, that one was good. Yeah. I didn't put mine in order. I think that's just the order that I watched them in. But those were the 3 that stood out that have moments that I'll always laugh about and look forward to seeing the scene. How about classic moments for you?
So I put down notes of the best. My favorite scene from Jerry, my favorite moment from Elaine, my favorite moment from George, favorite moment from Kramer. Do you have that?
I have that too. I have 3 moments because Jerry and Elaine's moment from the deal.
Okay.
I put them together for that because it's equally.
Okay, yeah.
This moment with Elaine in this episode is up there as well. So I guess I could add that. But Jerry and Elaine in the deal, Kramer at the baby shower dialogue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
hilarious. The pineapple, the bark, and everything.
And George at the apartment when he wears the wedding ring, trying to hit on women and completely flubs everything up.
Okay, yeah.
Those are good moments for me.
I got my favorite Jerry scene is his when he offends Manya in the pony remark. Literally the pony remark. Even after she leaves, who knows that everyone's going to have a pony? An immigrant's going to have a pony. Why would you leave a country filled with ponies? That's such great Jerry.
Yeah.
But also maybe the busboy, just that moment when he asked the busboy, how you doing? That's pretty good too. My favorite Elaine scene is, it's got to be her monologue from the busboy in season 2.
That's so good.
Hit the Van Wyck, the 5-car pile. That's great. I think the best Kramer moment, I think it's when he gets the statue back from Raymond Thomas Winchinski.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
Kiss the wall, pervert. I'm a goddamn good cop. What are you going to do? Best George moment, I think, is in The Deal when Jerry's telling him. Slept with Elaine last night.
Yeah, and he's like,
I'm not in the mood. You're not in the mood? I got no job. I got no prospects. Whatever. You're not in the mood?
You get in the mood.
That's good, that's George. Good. That feels like really like classic George. What do you think's the worst episode in this season?
I think the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I think so too. Upon rewatching it, I would have said the heart attack, but rewatching it, I now think I like the heart attack more than the ex-girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend, I don't laugh at all.
There's moments in it that drag.
Yeah.
But the heart attack seems a little bit more like, it kind of feels like a later Seinfeld episode. It's a little wacky.
I feel like feels like not even a Seinfeld at all, the heart attack. It feels like you're watching Willy Wonka or some
it's
shit.
It's a little out of place, especially when he turns like, purple. Yeah, yeah, it's very un-Seinfeld.
Yeah, but it's upon rewatching, it's actually like...
There's some stuff.
I like Tor Ekman more than I thought.
Yeah.
It's not a great episode. It's one of the worst, in my opinion, in the series. But I think the ex-girlfriend's worse.
Yeah, it's a little slow.
All right, and I got... What's your favorite one-off character that shows up?
Okay, let me see if I have that written down. One-off character...
Like a guest star that only shows up once.
In this season, it was definitely Maury Seinfeld at the funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, when he's asking for that discount for like, you just need to sign.
You always call him Maury. It's Morty. Morty.
Yeah, Morty. That one. I love Maury Seinfeld.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. But for me, he's not a one-off character because he's recurring. He's already been in season one. A different actor.
So.
But he comes back.
I think he's still kind of
I would call him like a side character.
Yeah. In this season, he's still new-ish.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. And he does only make one appearance in the season, sure.
Yeah, so that's why I picked him for that.
See, I go, mine is James Hong, the Chinese restaurant.
Oh,
the
maider d'. A great one.
He, Mr. Cartwright? He steals the episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mr. Cohen is always here.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick.
I love him so much. That whole episode is great because of him.
Yeah, what? No, that's a good... I think that's the right
fresh call. Whole sea bass dinner. Very fresh.
That's the right call.
Yeah. Relationships are very hard. It's hard to stay together. He's amazing.
No, he's great.
Yeah, I say Cartwright.
Right. Yeah, that's a great episode.
That
feels like a season three episode. That's how good it is.
That's the first, I think. We said it when we did, but that's the first, I think, really great episode
it
in my opinion.
Yeah, it just knocks it out the
park. One of those episodes where nothing happens, but so much happens.
It's the perfect Seinfeld episode.
It really is.
Yeah. All righty. Well, season three is on the docket. We're back on the horse. We're going to do this.
We're back, baby.
Back in business, baby.
Are you stealing my babies now?
All right, dude.
So next one we'll do season three, episode one, The Note.
The Note.
It's a good episode. It is. Season three starts off a little slow. They're good.
It picks up quick. Once it gets going.
You can get hit there's The Note, The Truth, The Pen. The pen is
classic. And once they get into the parking lot.
Yeah. The library.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. For those who have been waiting for a Cave of Solitude episode, we're back. We're going to hit you with more episodes. Promise. Shane is here. We're at Raid. It's just going to get better. Shane, as always, you got another podcast coming up, so we got to wrap this baby up.
Oh, yeah.
15 minutes. Get ready.
I'm ready.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Shane, we'll be back soon. Ta-ta for now.